Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Good morning, everyone. Hello, hello. Today, we are debunking common myths about manifesting. I wrote a list of the ones that I've heard throughout the years because I talk to people all day long about this stuff, but I love to hear what people's perspectives are. Like, what is it that you're possibly wondering about or struggling with? Okay, the number one common myth that people have when they're first learning or they first hear the idea of the law of attraction or manifesting is that's not true. That it's hard for them to believe that it actually works or that it's woo-woo or out there or fantasy land. So to this I say, what do you have to lose? Just try it. And no one can convince you that it's true until you start to discover for yourself. So I can tell you all day long, and other manifesting teachers can tell you all day long that it's true and that it works. But until you discover it for yourself, you won't know. So you got to just step in, start working with it, and you will quickly see that it is true. Okay. You will quickly see that you are magical and that you can create based on what you focus on. So what you think about, what you visualize, what you say, what you feel, and what you believe. I feel like the best way to start working with our power to create is to start manifesting things that are even small. What we normally do when we start to learn about manifesting is we're like, oh my gosh, I want to manifest, you know, I want to completely change my intimate relationship, or I want to manifest, you know, this big mansion or, you know, a promotion, a big promotion or whatever. I say, that's great. Of course, I want you to focus on the big things too, but pay attention to the little things, because the most important thing for me is that you know you're magical. So when you can create movement on the little things, it will start to build your faith in yourself and build your belief in these universal laws. And that's how it works. Even just picturing something you want to see come in for the day that would make you happy, that is going to help you start to work with these laws and help you start to build. Number two, another common belief is my spouse or my kids need to know, or whoever in your life, they need to know the same info. They need to read this book, listen to this podcast. You know, we do this so much, especially with our spouses. It's like we're so focused on what they know. They need to believe in the law of attraction for it to work for me, right? The reason it doesn't matter is because this is trippy and this is really hard for our human brains to wrap around this, but the reality is we are all having our own experience. Whatever it is that I want to create is going to show up. For example, my hubby's on here and he could be, for all I know, in his reality, we're multimillionaires. And I don't know, maybe I have huge boobs. I'm just kidding. I don't know what his reality is. I have no idea. It doesn't matter to me. All that matters is what I'm creating, okay? Because our life is our own movie, right? And so we can create whatever we want. And he has his own reality, and I don't know what his reality is. It's really hard for us to understand that and wrap our brain around it. But that's it. We'll leave it at that right now. But it's important for us to realize that we'd stay in our own lane and we can create what we want. Number three, one of my faves is I can't lie. Okay. I hear this a lot with people where they feel like when they're saying their IMs, they're lying, right? And they're like, oh my gosh, this feels like so la la land, because it's like all of a sudden I'm saying something completely different than how I really feel. I will use this example. This is one of my very favorite examples because it was a major, major aha for me and this person. Someone that I know dearly. I've known her for many, like all my life. And she struggled with her weight a lot. And she struggled with her sense of self-worth. She's very beautiful. She's always been beautiful, but she didn't feel beautiful. And she had a major, major lack of self-worth. And one day she called me and she was crying and she was so upset. And she said, I went for a walk on the mountain that she lived on. And it was a beautiful morning. And she passed this guy walking out there and she didn't know him. She'd never seen him before. And she said, hello, good morning. And he looked at her and he didn't say one word to her. And he kind of stopped and he looked her up and down. And she said he had this look of just disgust on his face and then walked on. And she said, I wish you could have seen like how he looked at me. She says, I'm so fat and I am so like, he wouldn't even say hi to me. And she just was crying. And I said, honey, life is a mirror. Life is a mirror. And for all I know, and I know this is, again, sounds radical because it's kind of how I am, but for all I know, this man was an angel that showed up in your path to mirror back to you how you feel about yourself. If we get too caught up in the story, the human story of life and earth, then we miss it, right? If I would have guided her towards what a jerk that man was, then we wouldn't have had this major breakthrough together, because I had it right along with her. And I just said, I believe that that man was standing there in front of you to mirror back to you what you've been telling yourself for all of these years. So instead of saying, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm worthless, how about you start saying, I'm beautiful, I'm healthy, I'm sexy. And she laughed when I said that. She's like, I'm not sexy. I can't say that. That's a lie. Here's the thing. If you have something in your life that is not honoring you and it's showing up in human form, in physical form, I promise you, you're lying. I promise. Let's go to the end of our life, whenever that is, you cross over to the other side. Are you healthy or are you unhealthy? Well, everybody says, well, yeah, of course I'm healthy. Once I'm in the afterlife, I'm healthy. Are you broke or are you abundant? Well, of course you're abundant, right? Nobody's broke in the afterlife. Are you worthy of love or are you worthless? Of course you're worthy. Are you full of peace or do you have anxiety? Of course you're full of peace. You go back to your natural state, the truth of who you really are. You leave the illusion. You know, a lot of people talk about when they die or when somebody leaves this earthly plane, they're going home, right? A lot of people say that. My mom used to say that a lot as she was getting closer to her time to transition over to the other side. She would say that constantly. I just want to go home. I just want to go home. And, you know, my dad, bless his heart, he thought she was kind of getting delusional. He was like, she keeps saying she wants to go home. And he'd say, dear, you are home. And I'm like thinking, Dad, that's not what she means. She means I want to go home, like really home. This is all an illusion. When you think about like, if saying I am abundant and I am experiencing a massive amount of abundance coming in, if that feels like a lie to you, then your wires are crossed and you're too caught up in the lie. Or saying, you know, I'm surrounded by loving, amazing people, or I'm honored by the people around me. The truth is you are magic and you are love and you are abundance and you are health and you are peace and you are all of those higher, higher vibrations. That's who you really are. So the key is you just hop in and you start to retrain your story. You start to rewire your story. And eventually it won't feel like a lie and eventually things will transition. So back to that person I was telling you about, She did. She took my direction that day and she had a major breakthrough and she started saying, I am healthy. I am beautiful. And it didn't happen overnight because it did feel like a lie to her. But eventually she started to bring that into the cells of her body and the cells of her being. And she eventually lost. I mean, she's lost at this point over 100 pounds. And now she believes it. She believes that she's sexy and beautiful and a rock star. But that man, whoever it was, he showed up. Okay, number four, I can't manifest for other people. This is such a big one in intimate relationships. So people will say, well, this is how my partner is showing up and I can't manifest for him or her. So they feel hopeless. Again, this goes hand in hand with that other belief of like, I need to have them on the same page. Remember, we're having our own reality. So you can manifest a completely different relationship. You can manifest how your spouse is showing up. It doesn't mean that you can completely change them. It means that you can change your vibration, your energy, and how people react to you in the world. If you have respect and love for yourself, that's going to show up for you. But if you feel worthless, if you feel disrespected, if you feel, you know, not worthy, then that's going to show up for you. It's going to show up for you with your friends, with your clients, with your intimate relationships. It's going to show up, right? So life is really a reflection of what we feel worthy of. Number five, the fifth myth. I need to know how that would work. I need to know how that I could manifest that. I just can't see the how. Again, this is none of your business. That is not your job. That is the divine's job. So we are co-creators, which means co means we create with something else, someone else. You are creating with the divine, with God, with the universe, whatever belief system you have, you plug that in. And that is who you are creating with. And you have a role and the divine has a role. And when we get caught up in trying to figure out the divine's role, we get thrown off because it's really none of our business. So our job is to focus on what we want and hold it as much as we possibly can and allow the divine to bring these things into our path. And when it comes into our path, then we need to act on it, right? So we do need to take action. There's another universal law, which is called the law of action. That is also a law. And so when things are brought into our space or we have inspired action, so it could be you're driving down the road and let's say you've been asking for living your life purpose and really living your passion. And all of a sudden you're driving down the road and you have this idea of like, maybe I should do this business. That would be really cool. And that sounds really exciting. That's an inspired action. And in order for that to happen, you got to pick up the phone and take that inspired action. You just had to call so-and-so that you thought about, well, I could call so-and-so and they could help me with that. You got to take that action, right? But you don't have to worry how it's going to happen when you're first focusing on what you want. You allow yourself to focus on what you want and then allow the universe to do its magic, to bring that magically to you. And what's funny is I've seen crazy ways that the universe will bring that in that you couldn't even have conceived. So for example, one time I was working with a client and she really wanted to purchase a new home and it was scary to her. She'd never done that. And she started focusing on it. And literally within a week, her apartment that she was in flooded and she had to move. She was forced to move. So she moved home with her parents. At that time, she then things started to come in and she started creating her plans to purchase her first home. And within, I think, 2 months, she was in her new home, like her very first home that she'd ever purchased. So it was pretty cool, but you might think, well, that doesn't sound cool, right? That her apartment flooded. but it was cool because what happened is she was forced to move forward out of her comfort zone, and she was not liable for the lease. And when things started to come in, as far as like lining up for her to find the right place to buy, it happened. So that's something that her mind couldn't have conceived the how it would have worked. Yes, the universe works in mysterious ways. Isn't that awesome? I love it. Okay, number six, it's brainwashing. I posted a video of my now 9-year-old daughter when she was probably 4 or 5, and she's saying her I ams. And it's funny because as a 5-year-old, and honestly, like for any of those that know our 9-year-old, she's very, very confident. Actually, both of our kids, they're pretty confident, but they've been raised saying their I ams. And any kids at any moment can start saying their I ams. But with my older two, I didn't raise them saying their I ams. I didn't know about it. I didn't know the stuff that I learned later in my life. And so I have 2 older and 2 younger. So brainwashing, that's interesting, right? Because again, remember that we're telling a story all the time, regardless of whether we take responsibility for it or not. Whether we take the wheel of our life and like think of our life as a car and we're the driver, and we're either not driving and our car is just randomly running into stuff and plowing over stuff and we just feeling bad for ourselves because it's happening, or we have our hands on the wheel and we're intentional and we're telling our life where to go. If your life is not honoring, then you're brainwashing yourself to have a not honoring life. If your life is honoring, then you're brainwashing yourself to have an honoring life. So you can choose either way, but regardless, your life is made up of your story. Okay, number 7, I'm scared of it. This sounds kind of crazy, but it's true. And I felt this way before in my life. Once we start to learn about that we are powerful, we take that in and we start to realize that we do have control or power on what happens in our life to some degree, then we go, oh my gosh, well, that's scary. Look at all the stuff that I've created. Was I really responsible for that? And that can be hard for people. I know it was hard for me because I had created a real shit show at times in my life. That's kind of hard to take that in and accept that sometimes. But the reason people are scared of it is they think, uh-oh, well now, if I think something, it's going to happen. And all you have to do is think something and it will happen. And that's not true. So calm down. That's not true. And sometimes people think, oh, I wish that that were true, because then I wish I could say, oh, you know, I'm a millionaire, and then poof, there would be $1 million. And remember that this experience, this life experience, was divinely created in our favor. It was created for us. And our manifesting powers, it's created as majority rules. And so what happens is when we have a thought, then it doesn't pop in automatically. But if we give more energy to get it to breathe life into that story or that thought, and we call it closer, then eventually it most likely will pop in. And so you do have a lag time. You have time to see little things pop in to give you clues of what you're creating, or you have time to be able to course correct. I will say, though, with that being said, I do believe that things are speeding up. I'm feeling this and seeing this, and also having other people say this. So it's confirmed. And that is that our manifesting powers are speeding up and they're getting more powerful and quicker. Even though it's not like boom, automatic that quick, I do think that we are getting more powerful and time is speeding up. So things are coming in faster as we create them. So be aware, you know, be intentional, be aware. Number 8, I don't believe it, because what about really bad things that happen, such as somebody getting cancer, or you know, somebody having a divorce, or a child passing away, or something, you know, really traumatic or awful in someone's life? Or like, let's take, you know, 9/11, for example. are you trying to say, Jen, or to whoever that teaches manifesting, that all those people manifested that? That comes down to soul agreements. And soul agreements is a whole nother segment. It's seriously life-changing, soul agreements. I've seen it change so many people's lives, and the light just turns on when they get this concept. We will get into soul agreements. I will do a whole segment on it because we cannot skip through that, because it is such a huge piece of the puzzle to us understanding this life experience and understanding who we are. But realize there are two ways that we create. Number one, we create before we ever even come here. We create big things that we wanted to experience, or big things that we signed up to play a part to better and awaken those people in our lives as well as ourselves. And so some things are predetermined. So I'm not saying, oh, it's your fault that this happened. Sometimes we plan things, like those things are already done. But then once we get here, we are also a player in the game of life. And then we get to choose to create on a normal basis, day to day to day. And that's what I really focus on and teach, is those things. Like, how can we shift the energy into creating things that we want more than what we don't want, right? So number nine, you don't have to take action. This is one that I kind of already addressed in the previous one. So you do, you have to take action. The law of action matters. And so you can't just think about something all day long, and then when it's brought to you, then not take action on it. I love the story of the man that was in a flood, and he prayed to God for God to save him. And everybody is getting out of there because this flood is getting higher and higher. And he eventually, somebody comes in a rowboat and says, get in, let me save you. And he said, no, I'm waiting for God. God's going to save me. And they're like, okay, whatever. And they took off. And then somebody came in a speedboat and said, hey, get in, I'll save you. And he said, no, I'm waiting for God. Then a helicopter ends up coming and says, hey, grab the rope, I'll save you. And he says, no, I'm waiting for God. Eventually he ends up drowning and dying and gets in front of God and says, God, why didn't you save me? And God said, well, I came three times and you didn't take action, right? So you got to get in the boat. You got to take the rope. So yes, we've got to take action. You can't just think about things, but when they come into your path, take the action, right? So number 10, if you want to leverage the law of attraction, you must control every thought. So this one is also a common myth, that you have to control every thought. And again, remember majority rules, because that's a really crappy thing to think, oh my gosh, I have to control every thought. No, you don't. But just realize when you're going down a path, course correct. Number 11, I haven't been using the law of attraction lately. I love this one. I often ask people, hey, you know, how often do you use the law of attraction, or how often do you manifest? And they say, oh, I don't know, not as much as I should, or not as much as I want to. And the answer is, you use it all the time, every second, every minute of every day. You cannot get away from it. It's like saying, hey, how often do you practice the law of gravity? Well, hello, we practice it all the time, right? Of course, we are always practicing it. So the key is to make sure we're paying attention to what we're creating, okay? The last myth is, the law of attraction is just getting more things and money, and I don't want to be greedy. Okay, a lot of times people are like, oh my gosh, that's just about making more money, right? Unfortunately, people often have a very unhealthy relationship with money. And money is just an energy. That's it. So you can choose to call it in or not call it in, whatever you want. No judgment. The universe does not care what you ask for. You're here in human form to play the game and to experience the good, the bad, and everything in between. So whatever it is you ask for, you can have. if you're asking for the experience of lack and being broke, does not make you more righteous. Does not. In fact, most of the time, people that steal, they don't have a lot of money, I would say. The law of attraction is not about money. In fact, the things that I have called in are priceless and they have no monetary value at all. The things that I value the most that I have shifted in my life are joy and love for myself and love for others and peace. Oh my gosh, peace. Anyone that knows me knows that, you know, my 20-year-old self or my 30-year-old self had a lot of anxiety and I would worry about things a lot. And once I started to understand that what I was focusing on, I was pulling in and calling that in more and more. So the more I thought about things that I was worried about, the more worried I felt, the more anxiety I had. The law of attraction is about so much more than material things. Those things are fine. They're great. They're the cherry on top. But to me, the most valuable things from using the law of attraction and remembering how beautiful and amazing and powerful you are is absolutely priceless. And that is joy and peace and love and fun and laughter and adventure and those cool experiences that you can have that are higher vibration. When I talk about the massive amounts of anxiety that I had, it was a cumulative effect. We actually become addicted to our emotions and it becomes the way that we just think life is. And when we try to have a different emotion, many times we don't feel comfortable. This is all subconscious. We don't even realize this. And we will, of course, delve way more into this and how our body gets addicted to feeling bad. But that's how I was. I was addicted. That was what was comfortable for me. That's what felt normal for me. It just is stepping on that path and taking that first step to retrain your body and retrain your emotions to feel comfortable feeling good. Someone that I know of who she has such a massive amount of anxiety. I do not work with her. I would love to work with her because she's such a beautiful, amazing woman, but she has such a massive amount of anxiety that it robs her of her life. And I've seen it mount over the years and get higher and worse to where now she's not even living her life. She's merely existing. She's not enjoying her life at all. So it really has to do everything with the law of attraction. It gets really fun when we start to get the hang of this. And so over time, you will start to get really good at this. Just step on the path, start working with your powers, and I'll guide you step by step, week by week. All right, everyone, make it a great week. And I appreciate you for being here today. So bye for now. Do you have a coach? I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliafu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.